DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined by Father C. John McCloskey, who is a church historian and research fellow at the Faith and Reason Institute in Washington, D.C. He's also host of programming on the Eternal Word television network. With Father C. John McCloskey, we go inside the pages of The Mississippi Flows into the Tiber, a guide to notable American converts to the Catholic Church, published by Fidelity Press. Father, thank you so much for joining me.
It's my pleasure, in particular, to speak to your listeners.
It is a monumental book that you've written the foreword and afterword for, The Mississippi Flows into the Tiber, a guide to notable American converts to the Catholic Church. Many of those names mentioned of the recent period, you're familiar with personally.
Happily, that is true. It wasn't something that I thought would ever happen, but it did. So like, that's a nice thing to see. Not only are there great converts in the United States from the past, but also in the present.
Well, it is a tremendous testimony to those who are trying to seek understanding, to try to respond to whatever that calling is, to witness the names of many people who are, it would surprise us, wouldn't it?
Well, I think that's one of the best things about the book. First of all, I think it's great as a table book, in any home, and also can bring up a lot of conversation with guests who come there. But yes, I think that is true, that a lot of well-known people that are known for many other things converted to Catholicism, and the great majority, certainly the Catholic Americans, I would say, are not aware of that fact. And it is very impressive when you see the level that they've been at.
It certainly is, Father. I mean, that call to conversion, that turning towards him, and that's the key, isn't it, to understand what conversion is.
Yes, I would agree with you on that. And, of course, that's what I address most particularly in the afterward. But I think what's impressive about this book is in comparison with many other very fine books that have been done on converts in the United States, is that in many cases, the author, Dr. Beaumont, made a point of trying to get a little bit of their story in the book as they told why they became Catholic. So it's not just simply this person became a Catholic, but he or she talks about what it was that brought them there. And that can be a great help for each one of us in loving our faith more, and also at the same time of being more, let us say, aggressive, and I say that in a positive way in terms of sharing our faith with the people around us.
There, one name that I looked up actually right away in the book was someone who I had the real blessing to be able to talk to right before his death, and that was columnist Robert Novak, who I remember in my conversation with him mentioned you specifically as one of those lights for him. And his conversion had such a melting of his heart in that encounter with that beautiful fire of God's love that it brought him such peace. Because of his faith, it caused him to really unite himself with St. Thomas More, but in particular the teachings of the church, which would put him on the outs with some people that he had relationships with for years.
Yes, without question. He was moved, I think, also putting myself apart. I mean, I was just an instrument there and helping him up to that point. But he also had good friends who were Catholic. And I think that's very important, including people that he dealt with as a columnist and also on television. And I mean, he was very well known, maybe the top man of his time as a columnist and a writer and on TV. And I think there were friendships there that he saw peace and happiness in those people. and an understanding of him and loving him the way he was, that really probably had a huge impact on his faith.
I bring him forward as an example, and I'm so glad you used that term friendship, because really, with the charism of Opus Dei, for example, that charism of friendship, that's really, in the end, what helps that turning, that conversion, more so than even the intellectual exploration of the faith.
I could not agree more. It's friendship and it's example. And seeing people who are your friends and who you admire and who you enjoy and seem to have, the expression I use, they want to have something that this person has. And so when they see that peace or that family life or whatever it is, each circumstance, they say, this is where I want to be. This is how I want to be. And that must have much to do with the faith that they profess and that they live well.
Living in the Washington, D.C. area for most of your life, would you say? I mean, you have encountered those who are right on the edge of dealing with very high-powered decisions, forces, a whole myriad of things that could be crushing if we tried to carry that without that strength that comes from grace.
Well, yes, because if you don't, they are crushing, and that's where you get divorces, and it's where you get addictions, and where you do things that are unethical because you see everyone else doing those things around you. But in your heart, in your mind, you know, this is not healthy for me as a human being, much less for my whatever my future is going to be in the next life, if there is one. So those people who make that effort, you know, I'll just mention very quickly, one of the best friends of Bob Novak in particular is a man named Jeffrey Bell, who, as it happens right now, is running for the Senate in New Jersey. And he was a man who had, at least in my experience, he had a big influence on three or four of the well-known people who converted to Catholicism, and he was a convert himself. So that's just one man that these people all respected was enough to bring three or four of them into the church.
Well, Father McCloskey, I have to ask you, the fact that converts are some of the best evangelizers that we have out there is... It's a tremendous blessing, but and I'm sure you're aware of some of the Pew studies that have been done over the years, especially the most recent one that would say those who were, as it's termed, cradle Catholic into the church, they were born into the church, a third of them leave by the time they reach a young adulthood. And what is it that we're doing in that formative years of... And not only our kids, but even for adults who may enter, that it's not as strong. I mean, that relationship has not been fostered. I mean, is there an answer to that?
There's a couple of answers in terms of why. A lot of it has to do, well, I would say two things. One is the problem with the church in the United States, we'll just say in the United States over the last couple of decades in terms of teaching of the teachings of the church and not things being done the way they should have been, even though the example certainly was there, particularly in John Paul and Pope Benedict and so on. That's part of it. But the part of it is the reality, at least to my mind, and this may seem a little harsh, but is that we live in a toxic atmosphere in terms of what the United States was as opposed to what it is now as opposed to what it was. And at one time, it was a Christian country. And in my mind, it's no longer a Christian country. It's a country that is basically pagan. Mm-hmm. And therefore, there are a lot of people who were Catholics because their parents were Catholic. And then when, as became more and more a pagan country, and made the choice in order to live the good life, which is not the good life, actually. And as a result, we see a decline, really, in the number of people who are certainly really Catholics in the sense of adhering to the teachings of the Church and living them. That's a great tragedy. And so what's the answer? The answer has to be the holiness of each one of us, and also our example and our willingness to reach out to other people, because this cannot continue forever. At some point, there can be a reaction where people realize, I'm not happy, and our society and culture is not something that is healthy, and therefore the answer is Christianity, and Christianity in its purest form, which is our holy faith, the Catholic Church.
I love the fact that it starts with us, quite literally, that we are not worthy that you should enter in under our roof, but only say the word and we will be healed.
Exactly. Yeah, well, what I'm saying is there's nothing bemoaning things will do nothing good, but our life of piety, our Eucharistic life, our devotion to Blessed Mother, our loyalty to the Church, our cheerfulness, our joy, our friendships. Well, that's how the first Christians did it many centuries ago, but they did it well. There's no reason we can't do it ourselves.
I have to say that I have been a big fan of your reading list, the spiritual reading, and getting out and beginning with Dante and encouraging us to continue, you know, whether it's Evelyn Waugh or Flannery O'Connor or any of those types of things that can help us to be formed, not only in the virtue that's being taught, but in the beauty in which it's being presented.
Well, yes, I think that's quite really the idea, is it not? You know, I did a series for EWTN on Catholic authors, which is available on MP3s very easily from down in Birmingham. But, yeah, it's precisely that we have a great heritage, and we're called to live it, and we're called to share it with others, and be happy, just be joyful. This world will end. We're all going to be, our goal is holiness, it's happiness, and it's not good for us to spend much time bemoaning the state of things. It's our role in order to change things with God's grace.
The encouragement and the support of good spiritual friendships, that in today's world, if we don't have that, it's pretty daunting, isn't it, considering the cultural crush. But you do need community, don't you?
Oh, well, you have to have friendships. You have to, as the early Christians did. I mean, they were in the world. At the same time, you can be sure they gathered together and they introduced their children to each other. And, I mean, it's just the nature of things. It's just anger will get you nowhere. Love will get you a lot of places. And happiness, if people are going to, the more people become depressed in our society, the more people are going to look at people who are happy and say, that's where I want to be. What does he or she have that I do not have? And the answer is Christ and his Church.
There are those within the Church right now who, is it fair to characterize it that it seems as though they feel that the boat is shaking a little bit? Sometimes when you get on the sea, if the bark of Peter is rocking a little bit more from a lot of movement within, it's not a cause to panic, wouldn't you say, Father?
Never a cause. The Church is built on the rock of Peter. You can't. It's always going to be there until the end of the time. You know, so it's and it's human. You know, it's made up of human beings and God Himself. So at times it can be obviously things that seem worse or better, but that may have a lot of way that our thinking about that may be a result of somewhat of the society or culture we happen to be in at the time. Well, I think, you know, that the heart of our faith is that everything ultimately happens for the best, and what we're called to be is faithful and to share that faith with others. And if we do that, we'll have a great reward in heaven, and we can be very happy, as we should be in this life.
As you were reading The Mississippi Flows into the Tiber, were there some that surprised you? I mean, as a church historian, I mean, were there
that's a good question, interesting question. Of course, I've read it and went through it. Not too many, because, you know, I'm a little specialist in this thing of converts. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'd heard of, some of these people. Of course, six or seven of them or more are people that I know personally or had a role in doing that. But not too many, because, you know, have been a lot of good books out on converts and by converts through the years and through the last couple of decades that are good. I did the one I liked about, you know, when this was brought up to me when I was still living in the Chicago area, was just the idea of having in one book, almost all of them being able to tell their stories in sometimes a few lines and sometimes longer, of people that I know, the great majority of Americans would not think of a famous baseball player becoming a Catholic or a well-known author becoming a Catholic. And then here also being able to read their story, a few paragraphs normally at most, right there and say, well, boy, this is really something I had no idea. That there have been Catholics from people who've converted to the church going back almost to the time of the revolution in our country. And it's still happening now. There's every Easter, there's tens of thousands of Americans who become Catholic, the RCIA and so on. So, you know, it's still coming. It's just, of course, the great majority of them are just like, you know, they're not that well known. So, but it's going to help people to understand that, yes, a great golfer can become a Catholic, or a great writer like Flannery O'Connor becomes a Catholic, and the list goes on and on.
Yeah, it is a tremendous list of witnesses that I think it's so important for us to get to know, primarily because the church is always going to be under attack just by its very nature that Christ is in it. Yeah, I mean,
that's right.
Because he was, and we shouldn't be surprised by that, should we?
No, we shouldn't. It's a sign that we're the real thing. It may be painful, but whether it's communism or whether it's the French Revolution or it was the early centuries of the Romans, the nature is those people who live lives that are decadent or have no belief in God, by the very nature of things, the devil is always at work. And there's one thing the devil hates besides God and the Holy Trinity is the Catholic Church. And that's he's got nothing but time in order to do everything he can again and again. But then the witness of the martyrs and the saints and so on, it's the battle that will continue until the last judgment.
Mm. There are so many conversations that we hear now about the state of marriage and a number of other areas that within the life of the church, we see it being played out even in that core of the domestic church, where parents worry about their children and leaving the faith, or grandparents concerned about the state of certain things. And that fear, is that in any way helpful to help remedy that situation in that domestic church?
Well, I've written, as you know, a lot, dozens and dozens and dozens of things which are on my website, including things basically on almost everything you've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Just the people who are Catholics today, that is parents, who have children, first of all, have to be exemplary in terms of their own practice, but they also have to be wide open to the reality that they're living in a decadent world, which is our country for the moment. We'll just talk about the United States. And that they cannot take anything for granted. And that they have to be very careful in the way they bring up their children inside of the family. And they have to be it's very important that their children get a Catholic education, a true one. And that, I would say, almost particularly important is the choice of colleges or that they might go to in the future, because there's an awful lot of children who come from Catholic families that practice at a minimum and sometimes much more than that, who then go to a secular university where they oftentimes fall into practices which are completely against the church and fall away. So, you know, there is to be aware that we're in a very difficult situation. It's in a war. We're in a cultural war, in a religious war. And that there, but what's most important is for us to bring the children up to the best of our ability with our prayer and our example. And that all, once they're out of the house, they're gone. Hopefully they'll come back to, I'm not saying they're gone from the church necessarily. It doesn't have to be that way at all. But to realize, to have to be not naive in any way whatsoever in terms of the culture that's all around us.
The thing is to be steadfast in our own relationship, our own faith, and to express that with love. And
with love and being your children's best friends. And they can talk to you about anything. And you have to correct them from some time. It's just the nature of things. They're all families and this, that, and the other. But if need be, you have to educate them in the teachings of the Catholic Church. You may have to get the catechism of the Catholic Church and do the work of catechizing your children. And not to leave it or trust that others are going to do a good job at what you can do better.
Well, and that's the challenge, isn't it, on evangelization? It's not something you choose to do on Tuesday afternoons. From what you've always taught, it's 24/7.
It's 24/7, that's right. And it can be done. Well, our example, our love, the fun that we have in your family, the way we work, if we work in the house or outside the house, all those are the things that will bring our children or grandchildren, as the case may be, to practice their faith. And once they do so, they in turn can be apostolic in terms of giving their faith to people around them.
What I appreciated so much about the Mississippi Flows into the Tiber were some of those earlier stories about those who quite literally on the North American continent, they died for their faith. They died for that great love. I think right now we don't think we have to suffer that, unlike our brothers and sisters around many other parts of the world that we hear about, sadly, every single day. And yet...
Yes, it's very hard for an American to get into that idea that this could be me. But, you know, it could be. And I would not say it should be. We don't want it to be. But if you know the lack of religious liberty, at some point or other, it could happen that we and it has happened to some extent in some isolated places, that you'll go to jail. Or who knows? Hopefully it's not as a result of being beheaded through Islam, although anything is possible. But we would be very naive to think that our country as such is... favorable towards serious religion, most particularly which is our faith, because we're the ones who we're the real thing. That is, Catholicism's the real thing, and the devil will do anything he can in order to stamp that out. And so that's, we just have to be ready for not welcoming it, not looking for it, but sure, it could happen, certainly could happen in this country.
Oh, Father, I wish we had more time, but that's what's so wonderful about having your marvelous website and the works that you're doing, and also having the Mississippi Flows into the Tiber, a guide to notable American converts to the Catholic Church. Any final thoughts in our conversation?
Yes, so this is a great moment for us, and you know, to reiterate that what's most important is our own happiness and the happiness we bring to others. Everything else, and we can only do what we can do, but what we can do, we should do. And that God knows what it's all about, and what we're doing is living this life, but we're doing so in order to be ready for the next, which will be glorious. That's always ahead of us, and something we should always be thinking about, particularly when things seem difficult. This life is very short, and the life eternal in heaven is forever.
I love that, forever. Father McCloskey, thank you so much.
Well, my pleasure, and it's great to talk to you and also to all your listeners, and hopefully we'll talk again.
Father, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
With Father C. John McCloskey, we've gone inside the pages of The Mississippi Flows into the Tiber, a guide to notable American converts to the Catholic Church. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to culturewars.com, the website for its publisher, Fidelity Press, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and or to download this discussion along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.